Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for the great welcome into your heart. Lord, you don't have closed hands. You don't have a finger that is just telling us, no, 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 you can't come in. You have a welcome, and the welcome is in your face. It's in the eyes. Lord, we are so grateful that you want us there. You do not allow us in just out of an eternal purpose. That's certainly the great portion, but you actually want us there. Father, we're so thankful. We meet so many people in life that say they want us, and they don't really. But you do, and we can have full confidence in the welcome of heaven. And I pray tonight, Lord, that you would welcome us into your presence, Lord, and welcome you into our minds and into our hearts as we open up your word, the great scroll of faith and life. Father, and I ask it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. I would imagine Just As I Am is one of those hymns, like, oh, for a thousand tongues to sing, that has at least 26 verses. You got to figure there's just like a gazillion verses. You could sing it all day long. And it just keeps getting better.
And then you could preach
another. Exactly. Exactly. Title is New Thoughts. New Thoughts. In Proverbs, the 23rd chapter and the 7th verse, that's not going to be the text, but it's a beginning thought. As a man thinketh, so is he. As a man thinketh, so is he. Did you know it's not what we plan, sometimes it's not even what we want to do, it's what our thoughts tell us to do. The program of our soul, of our mind. How many have ever said, boy, I did something I didn't want to do? That's because your thoughts were controlling you, not the rest of you, not the spirit, but your thoughts. Extremely important that they're under the control of the Holy Spirit. Very much important. As a man thinketh, so is he. Not how you talk, because some people can talk very well. They can make you think they're a nice person. That's how Ted Bundy got away with everything. He looked like a victim, a helpless man, very nice. And his victims were trying to be nice. As a man thinketh, so is he. Do you know your thoughts are connected to the intent of your heart? And only God knows that. We don't even know. The Bible says our heart is wicked. Who can know it? We don't really know. That's why we have to trust the Holy Spirit to tell us, right? And he knows. He knows how to tell us. Your mind and my mind is like a computer. When you put something in there, even if it's wrong, it's going to stay there. You ever tried to get something off your computer? You hit the delete, and it still comes back. And you just know there's someone behind it just going, nah, 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 nah. You just know that. But everything we see with our eyes, because our eyes are like a camera, everything we see, everything we've experienced, everything we've noticed, even if we're not cognizant of it, enters into our computer. Now, thank God the Lord forgives our sins and our iniquities, so in our spirit man, God forgives and restores and we're clean. He doesn't hold grudges. He doesn't hold remembrance. But we're a three-part being. And our mind is the place of the real warfare. And everybody knows that, right? You know that. The Lord has already restored our spirit. Our body one day will be brought up to be with the Lord and will be redeemed at that time. In the middle of that is this life, where our mind is the one that needs to be changed. So therefore, we need the Lord to go into the hard drive and literally remove things. How many believe the Lord can remove age-old attitudes? He can remove age-old hurts. He can remove Not necessarily the whole memory, because some memories are good to remember where we come from so we don't repeat. But God can take the sting out of them. He's the only one that can. Now, the enemy wants to keep them stuffed. He wants to keep them down so nobody knows about them. But the Lord wants them to come out so they can be healed. Because when you bring it to the light, the enemy loses his power. Absolutely. So where do we get our thoughts? Where do we get our ideas? Things that go around in our head. They do say, I've mentioned it before, that by the time you're 4, you've learned half of everything you'll ever know in your life. So depending on how you were raised and what you were influenced by, you either grew up very quickly or you did not. Think of everything, half of everything, in that impressionable mind. So we learn by environment. We do. How many times have you said in your life as you got older, and I know we're not all old, we're just maturing nicely, but how many have said, I never thought I'd say that. I remember my dad saying that. And you begin parroting the same things you've heard in life? Boy, it is aggravating when you do that, but it happens. So then what we do is we hear it, and if it's something that's negative, sometimes we allow it to stay in our soul instead of rejecting it. Whether it's a political opinion, a personal opinion, or whatever it might be, sometimes people hang on to them, say, that's the way I was raised. I'm not going to change. Now, it depends on what we're talking about, but if you're talking about growing in Christ, the Lord's not a denomination. Okay? He's the whole piece. He's everything. So, and then what we do in life is we take those thoughts and those ideas, some of which are other people's, some of which are ours, and they come together and we continue to build on them and we form patterns. And then we form habits. And then it's hard to break that cycle of thought. It's not hard for God, but it's hard for us. So I want you to turn to Romans 12th chapter. Great portion of scripture. For new thoughts, we're going to spell out the word new, and the first one is we need to change the pattern. Need to change the pattern. In Romans 12:2, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Aren't you glad the Lord doesn't just say don't do something, he gives you something positive in its place? He tells us what to do. Thank God, he gives us direction. So he says here, in this fabulous portion of scripture, change the pattern. We need to change a pattern. Don't conform. The word conform in the Greek means to be molded to a specific pattern of someone else. And all of that depends on whose pattern you're using. If you're using the wrong person's pattern, like Adolf Hitler, for instance, that's horrible. If you're using God as your pattern, big difference. Right? Be molded to a pattern and put on a form or a fashion of someone else. Now, it's interesting to me because when Jesus came down here, the Bible says he put on himself the form of man, right? He put on a physical form for us. You know what we're supposed to do? The Bible says we're supposed to put on the mind of Christ. He came here and put on our physical form. We're supposed to put on his mind. He has a mind. He has a reasoning. He has a thought process. And even if we don't understand it, it will make perfect sense. The reason we don't understand it is because we see everything in small increments, and God sees the big picture. So all we see are a few letters. We don't get it. We have to trust that his wisdom is superior to ours. We are not to mold ourselves after this world. You know why? Because you know where the world is going. Did you hear today that the government of Lebanon has collapsed? Did you hear that along with the birds and the fish and all this stuff, there's a species of crickets that have been killed and they don't know why? I'm trying to remember where it was, but I heard it. A lot of stuff going on. The world, the pattern of the world, and they've been trying to change us forever. I grew up in the 60s in the me generation. Man, that leaves God right out of it, doesn't it? Should be a we generation, including him. The world, as it's speaking of here, is not talking about the cosmos or the universe of which we see. It's talking about the age and the generation of man. And the minute you let somebody else's values and dictates become your thoughts, unless it's scripture, you're in a bad spot. Really. And it could be good wisdom in the world. It could be. But if it isn't God's wisdom, it's got its limits. Period. So he says, instead, don't be patterned by this world. Be transformed. I love that word, don't you? Morphe. Go, change. It's like being overhauled. And when the Lord overhauls you, sometimes you go, huh? I didn't know I was thinking that way. I didn't know that was the way. I really didn't think so. I shared with you last week about when the Lord delivered me from swearing. And it was a deliverance, I got to tell you. When I realized who God is, and that I was offending him personally. I was the only one in the room. Nobody was trying to affect my thinking because they were all doing it, but it was very real. And I mean, it was life-changing, that moment. So I know God can do it. I know God can change attitudes. I don't care where they're from. Particularly if they're from abuse and hurt, they're very deep. They're very painful. They're scary. You don't want to try something new or think something new because you're used to thinking in a certain pattern and it feels safe. But it's not safe because it's enclosed and it probably is pressing in on you and you don't even realize it. So he says, be transformed. Through what? The renewal of your mind becoming new again. Isn't that wonderful? The Lord can make our mind new, even when we're 102. Doesn't matter the age, folks, because God doesn't have birthday parties. He doesn't need them. He's forever. So the N is we need to change the pattern. Well, in order to change it, you have to identify it, right? You have to identify it. Have you ever sat and took a log of your life and you think, okay, why am I negative about that? Where did that come from? Am I having a bad day? Which is possible. Don't take everything as being a deep-seated thing. Not everything is. Maybe some days you just need to eat and you're a little cranky. But there are occasions when something is very deep. Like I was talking to a woman about 25 years ago and she just couldn't understand why she was having such a difficult time when somebody came near to just touch her and say hello. It was very minimal. It was not a big grab or anything. And we started talking, and I asked her just a very general question. I said, were you ever abused? And she said, no. And I said, because I felt like the Lord said, yes, you were. I said, think again. Do you remember? Yeah, I just don't like to think about it. Said, I don't blame you. But this is not thinking about it. This is opening it up so you can put it in the hands of God. And the Lord can expose it. She had totally forgotten 25 years earlier of what had happened to her because she blocked it out, which is what you do when you try to survive. You absolutely blank it out. That's the way you feel you can go on. And sometimes you have to do it in the short term, but in the long term, the Lord wants it to come out. Because he wants to clean us. He wants more of him and less of us. So we need to change the pattern. In order to change a pattern, we need to know what it is, the old one, so we can have it removed. And then let the Lord give us the new pattern. And who's the pattern? He is. I don't expect anyone in this room to be a better me, because I'm not the best me myself. So we are going to be like Christ. That's what Christian means, to be a follower and a little Christ. Then we're going to do under the E, we're going to employ warfare tactics. Turn to 1 or 2 Corinthians 10. Have you ever felt like some of the thoughts that come to your mind and through your mind, you're just sure they didn't originate with you? There's a force behind them. There's sometimes great hopelessness and despair. There's all kinds of things. 10th chapter. And the 5th verse. Actually, I'm going back to 3 because I want to. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. You know what? The devil knows that in Christ we have the authority to take captive our thoughts instead of our thoughts making us captive, which is really what happens. Our thoughts take over, sometimes through dreams, sometimes just through life in general and habits, and the enemy's trying to strangle us. That's what he's trying to do. You'll never get out of this. You'll always be like that. All those lies. We have to take to a point and really a warfare perspective, because we are in a war. The devil knows he can't steal your soul. He knows the Lord's going to raise your body and redeem it. What he's trying to do is take what's in the middle here, in the mind, and take it and pulverize it. But he's a liar, so what else do we expect him to do? He's got nothing else to do, folks. He's already got the world. He's already got his timetable. So all he wants to do is bother Christians. It's pretty much what he's trying to do. He's certainly doing it, I believe it was over in Iran, where they're talking about the Christians that are really being persecuted purposely, and they say that they identify them not as evangelicals. They identify them as missionaries so they can say legally they're trying to proselytize, as opposed to be a Christian, which they allow, but they don't allow the proselytizing. So they're calling them missionaries so they can basically slaughter them. I'm sure that's their wish, but certainly put them out of business and disrupt God's word. But how many know that you cannot disrupt what God is doing? If you do anything, you're actually advancing it. And you'd think the devil would have known that by now. You know, he hasn't learned one bit what God is able to do. But the Bible says here, bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. It's kind of like taking a prisoner of war. What happens when you let them go? They might come back and kill you. When there's a thought, and it's not God's thought, and it's, even if it's yours, but it's not godly, you make it captive under the authority of the Word of God. Now, you have to know the Scripture to take that Scripture and apply it to it. Okay? So if you have a particular issue, say you have a problem with greed, go through a concordance, take some scriptures about greed or anger or whatever the area of life in you that seems to cause you the most difficulty, load yourself down on the Word of God. Memorize it, because I can tell you, in the middle of the night when he tries to come after you, you can go find your Bible, but it's better if it's in your heart. How many quote the Bible in their dreams? You betcha, because it gets down in your spirit. So let's make our thoughts obedient to Christ and make them captive, as opposed to them captivating and making us prisoners. And it goes on to say, dragging down foundations and strongholds. You can do that in Christ. Did you know, particularly when there's a stronghold in your life, there's something it's wrapped up around? It's usually an event or something that put terror and pain in your heart, or an individual maybe that has hurt you, and that becomes a stronghold, and everything else hangs on to it. So in Jesus, we can pull them down. And then it also goes on to say, we can cast out imaginations. This is images. Thoughts that come to your mind out of nowhere. That's an image to exalt over Christ. Anything that says, I'm better than God, I'm going to get you, this and that, that's an image. And it says casting it down. You know what you got to do? Evict it. Don't have a conversation with it. Don't send it in for coffee. Evict it. Absolutely. You do not need to have a conversation with the devil. Let Jesus talk to him. Just say, I refuse this. I'm not perfect. God forgave me, but this belongs to Jesus. I am not keeping it in my life. And get angry about that part. And he says, cast him down, because God wants to build the foundation of grace and hope and healing. And we have to get some of the other stuff out of the way. Then, for the W, I want you to go to Psalm 139 for the welcome of God. The welcome of God. One of the thoughts that can really, I think, destroy and certainly hurt us as Christians is this thought. You know, God loves me because he has to. But when it comes down to it, I wonder if he'll really welcome me. You ever wondered that? Some people do. I think, well, I don't know. I mean, I pray he is going to receive me. But maybe I've done stuff too bad. Maybe I'm not his favorite. That's the great thing about the Lord. Everybody's his favorite. Right? He doesn't hold favorites. He says here, great portion in Psalms 139. If you don't know this, memorize it. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou dost know me when I sit down and when I rise up, and you understand my thoughts afar off. Afar off. Now, this can be sometimes because we leave God kind of at a arm's length, and we don't let him get too close. But guess what? He sneaks up on you. I'll tell you that much. He knows how to get close to us, doesn't he? Lord, he says, you have searched me and known me. We have to understand that God loves us and wants to heal us and restore us and use us. He's not the enemy. We need to understand that fully, that we have the welcome of the presence of God. And he says, the psalmist, you searched me and you know me. God's already had a search warrant out for you a long time ago. He already knows everything about you. It's like I remember my cousin telling me years ago. She said when she was young and she was smoking in her room, and of course you weren't supposed to smoke anyway, but she wasn't supposed to smoke in a room and she was trying to air everything out. Well, her dad was a former smoker. I mean, really? He could tell, you know, but he didn't say anything to her until she brought it up. And he said, don't you think I've known the whole time? She sat there in terror because she thought he didn't know and he would punish her, of course, when the truth is he already knew. He was waiting for her to come to him. We waste a lot of time worrying that God is going to find out something that he already knows. And we can, doesn't mean we don't need to deal with it. Just means God's already got a search warrant on us. He's done it all. He can tell us stuff if we'd listen to him. But here's how he does it in Hebrews this great scripture of the weapon he uses, the instrument. 4:12. And he says, "For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and the intentions of the heart." Now, we hear our thoughts and we know them to a degree. Do we know our intentions? Not really, not always. Sometimes we don't know our intention. We have a jurisprudence in this country that the intention of your actions make a difference when you go to court. If you intended to murder somebody, you get a stiffer sentence than if it was an accident, right? If you didn't mean to, or you were defending yourself, that's a different thing than somebody over here that's purposely, like this guy in Arizona, who you know somebody's going to say he didn't mean to do, but he brought weapons. I mean, what else was he going to do? It's like a friend of mine when she was murdered by her husband. I said, you know, he didn't really take the knife to butter bread. That's not what he did. He purposely took it to inflict harm. And the results were devastating. The intent. God knows the intent. And his word, why do you think there's a difference between Judas, for instance, and Peter? Peter denied him. Peter was all mouth. But Peter had a heart. And the Lord knew that. He knew the intention down deep. And he had to go deep to puncture him, so he'd say, Lord, you know I didn't want to do that, but I did do it. I have to admit it. And the Lord forgave him in one of the greatest, greatest images in my mind in the Bible. Go tell Peter. Go tell Peter. So the Lord takes this knife, and he has to make an incision. That's the painful part. Because guess what? He doesn't really give a lot of Novocaine. Sometimes you can feel it going in. And he shows us the nature of our soul and our thoughts. And he shows our intent. And one of the things I think is so wonderful, in the Old Testament, they had offerings for unintentional sin. Isn't that wonderful? That meant that they could have an offering for God to forgive them when they didn't mean it. Because God knew who meant it and who didn't. Who was going to change and who wasn't. And only God knows that because he is holy. God understands our thoughts from way off. Only he can. So in this pattern that we need to have of our thoughts, we need to get rid of the thoughts that are bad to begin with. And then we need to put new ones in there. Because an empty space is an area for the enemy to come back and really try to fill it up. When a number of months ago, we were talking and having our steps put in, which are still lovely and they're still under the snow, and they're not useful to us at all, and we still can't get our mail. And we have to go to the post office, and they're aggravated because we can't get our mail. And I told the lady, I said, well, we don't want the mailman hurt. He's going to climb up, and we don't know what's below it. And I don't want a lawsuit, and I don't want him hurt. So this is the only option we have. But when we were having it done, and our request was to have semicircle, and I told you that, you know, he didn't know what semicircle was, which was very interesting. But here's what he did, is then he built some, and they weren't a semicircle. They were just kind of squared with a little tip, a nozzle. And the city of Columbia Heights didn't like that. Thank you, Lord, and made him tear it down, get rid of it, and redo it correctly. You know what they had to do? They had to go and make a pattern. A new pattern. They didn't have it. They had to learn what it was, and then they had to make a pattern for the steps. I am so grateful when the Lord gave a pattern for our mind and for our thoughts. He didn't use somebody else. He used himself. And that statement, what would Jesus do? We need to think about that a lot. What would he be doing? How would he be responding in this situation? What would his thoughts be? Lord, if they don't line up, maybe it's a fleeting thought. Maybe the enemy's trying to throw some dirt at you. You recognize that and reject it, evict it. And maybe there is something that has deep foundations, and the Lord needs to root them out and identify them. But don't be afraid, because the Lord's already given you the freedom. So it's not, God doesn't do it to embarrass us. He does it to free us, is the truth. How many are glad the Lord is the pattern, and he is the one that wants to change our minds and give us his thoughts for everlasting life? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you this evening that you didn't leave us in this world with all the stuff thrown at us, the continuum of garbage, whether it's philosophy or man's righteousness or even religion, which has messed up a lot of people's minds, because they treat you, Lord, like you're either a servant of theirs or they treat you like you're trying to gun them down. Lord, every extreme must be rejected, that we understand who you really are. You are the pattern of which we are to live. And when we cut the pattern and cut the cloth for that pattern, we're supposed to look at the end of it, not the beginning, to look where that pattern ends and where that cloth ends. Lord, we're to look at Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. And you'll help us root out those things, Lord, that are hurting our soul. Help us, Lord, to reject those thoughts that don't belong to you. And Lord, above all, let us know the welcome in the Spirit for that relationship with you. I thank you, Lord, for it. And I pray, Lord, you administer your word, Lord Jesus, to each of us as we need it in our personal life. May we reflect Jesus Christ to this world. Father, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now we're going.